Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. Michael Cohen here with producer Desi Simmons. A car that gets hundreds of miles a gallon. That may sound futuristic, but a new documentary alleges that this technology has been around for a long time and has been on the shelf due to greed. The film is called Gas Hole, and I'm joined by the co-director, Jeremy Wagner. Welcome to the program, Jeremy.
Hey, thank you very much.
Now, the assertion of your documentary is a startling one, that we've had the technology to build an internal combustion engine that can run for hundreds of miles a gallon. We've had this technology for many decades now, and that it's been purposefully buried by the American auto and oil and gas industries. If that's the case, how has the media and the public not become aware of that fact?
Well, I guess they haven't seen our film yet. What happened was we read a letter to an editor, my producing partner and I, a couple of years ago, from a man who had witnessed one of these pieces of technology back in the 40s. What he had said is that he used to race cars when he was a teenager, and while he was racing cars, this guy showed up in a 46 Buick Roadmaster, popped the hood, and was showing off to all the car jockeys and said, look, I invented this water-injected carburetor. I'm getting 100 miles to the gallon. The Shell Oil Company bought the patent from me, made me a millionaire, and I can keep this one on the car, but I could never build another one. And so we thought that was a really, just a mind-blowing story. So we did some research. We went and interviewed this old guy, and he seemed pretty lucid and pretty there. And then we actually found a patent that was registered for a water-injected carburetor from a man who lived in the area at the time. We took that patent to a mechanical engineer to say, does it make sense that this would help improve fuel economy? It makes sense. And so then we did some further research, and we found that the Shell Oil Company had published a book where they used to do tests to see how what the best fuel economy they could get out of their fuels in regular combustion engines. And shortly after this period, they were getting almost 150 miles in the Studebaker. So all of the research that we did really seemed to indicate that it was certainly plausible that this was true.
What are the general mechanisms to make an internal combustion engine so much more efficient?
Well, the thing is, there's so much energy that is lost in the internal combustion engine as we run it now. Especially going back to that time, you lose so much energy just on heat. And then you're not getting full burn on each, what happens is that gasoline goes into a cylinder and it pops, it blows up, an explosion, and that little explosion in the piston is what drives your engine. Now if you're not burning 100% of that fuel, the rest comes out your tailpipe as exhaust. And so it's just about being more efficient and getting as much energy as possible out of each drop of that gasoline. And our engines that we're running today aren't really doing that. And they haven't been doing it. I mean, we have had much better energy capture, but what's happening now is all of that additional energy that we have captured over the years since the 50s goes to more horsepower. It goes to running like tons of electronics in your cars that aren't just about getting you down the road. So we have had much better technology, but we're not using it towards fuel efficiency.
And what about now? There was a discussion of patents and obviously getting the rights to some of these inventions in the film, but what's keeping foreign car companies from developing this technology and taking over the automobile market?
Well, the funny thing is actually our domestic car companies produce engines and vehicles and sell them in Europe, and those vehicles get much better fuel economy than the ones they sell to us here. So it's not even foreign companies, it's the domestic companies sell better cars in other countries than in the United States.
I'm talking to Jeremy Wagner. He's the co-director of a new documentary called Gas Hole. Your film also claims that the big oil companies, otherwise known as the Seven Sisters, are much more interconnected than the public might think. How coordinated are their businesses, and how does that affect the price Americans pay at the pump?
Well, one of the really interesting things for us, my producing partner and I, we're not activists. I actually didn't know anything about this topic when we started. We're just filmmakers, and so we started following the story and just started asking questions as consumers. You know, well, how did the oil companies get to be the way they are, and how come they're dominating the industry so much, et cetera? And so what I didn't know until we talked to a historian about it was that all of the major oil companies all used to be part of one company. They all used to be part of Standard Oil. And in the early part of the 20th century, they were broken up because they had such a monopoly on the industry. And because the way they got that monopoly was through such predatory business practices that were really, really anti-free market. And so they broke up that monopoly. But those companies slowly over the years have been merging back together.
Understood. Now, you know, another assertion in the documentary is that oil companies are purposefully not building new refineries, even closing ones that are highly profitable, all that to make even more money. How does limiting their processing ability do so?
Well, they haven't actually built a new refinery in the United States in more than 30 years. 30 years, and those 30 years we've had tremendous supply problems. But what happens is if the supply of oil is scarce, then the price stays high. I mean, it's really just the argument is simple, you know, simple economics of supply and demand. Now, if you want to keep the price high, then you want to keep the supply low. And you want to control that supply, and that's what happens. Now, if anybody can go out and drill a well and pump oil and refine it and bring it to the curb and sell it to you, then you have a hard time controlling how much supply comes on. But if all of the oil is pumped and controlled by a small number of companies, it's a lot easier for them to keep control of how much supply comes online. And if they're not building new refineries, then the argument is that we only have so much capacity.
Now, you know, if all this is true and our economy is now being handicapped by high gas prices, how are Washington lawmakers allowing that to happen without confronting the oil industry?
There is so much money that's spent in our electoral system for and against our politicians by the oil industry and the energy industries that they've got no choice but to work with the oil company. As one person in our documentary says, if you're a friend of the oil company in the Congress, they spend a lot of money on your side. If you're an enemy of the oil companies, they spend a lot of money against you to get you voted out. And it's something you've got to take into consideration. You can't just go in as a ball buster and not work with them in some capacity.
I'm talking to Jeremy Wagner. He's the co-director of a new documentary called Gas Hole, and it's a film I viewed on the Netflix Instant View, which is now available. Now, isn't an organization like OPEC, though, ultimately in control when it comes to the price of oil, with the ability to reduce supply at their leisure, and aren't oil companies often responding to that reality?
Well, they've got a lot of close ties with OPEC over the years. I mean, you think about those OPEC countries, and the predominant way that they make money is by pumping that oil and shipping it to Europe and China and India and the United States. And the experts in doing that are these same companies that we're talking about. So they have very close ties. You know, I mean, you hear about something like what was happening in Libya, and the first things you hear about is what's happening to who's controlling the oil.
Mm-hmm.
You need that worldwide distribution system. You need to work with the oil industries if you're a dictator of a OPEC country, the same as if you're a Republican congressman from Texas.
Okay. Now, what kind of business arrangements exist currently between gas stations and the oil companies, and how is that profit on the gas broken down?
Well, it's a very complicated web, and that's a good thing from the oil industry, because there's not a simple A plus B equals C cost for them to describe. A lot of oil companies still own the pumps, but then that you have, you know, you'll have some pumps that are independently owned, but they have to buy that oil from a wholesale market. So then the price of that oil is still dictated by the price that that the oil industry is setting, mm-hmm. based on that price of crude oil. So even as an independent seller, even if you're not working for the oil companies directly as a subsidiary of their company, you still are at the mercy of that price.
You also discussed biodiesel in the film, and the claim is that oil companies are trying to squelch the wide use of this kind of fuel. How exactly are they doing so?
Well, in a number of ways. Similar to the what was interesting is, you know, we had talked about how the oil industry had purchased this patent that was this better idea that would have hurt their business. Well, the exact same thing happened in California. There was a gentleman who whose father owned some of these independent gas stations, and he wanted to start producing biodiesel and selling it to the public. Now, biodiesel is 100% California produced, grown fuel, and he's selling it in California. It was creating jobs. We went to the refinery. They added about 70 jobs because people were starting to use this biodiesel. The biodiesel that he was selling, you could put in any diesel engine. You don't have to buy a new car. You could have an old truck, an old Mercedes. It runs on this biodiesel. It was doing great business. And what happened is Chevron came in, bought out his father's company, and closed down the biodiesel. So it's exactly the same. It's exactly the same business practice that happened to that patent early on in the film, where they have a competing idea, and then they just buy it out. It's when you have that much money, it's a very, very simple process, and it's not against the law.
About a minute left now. What kind of reactions have you gotten to the documentary? Has there been any response from those in the auto or oil industries to the conclusions that it makes?
We haven't really heard much from them. It's still sort of a small film. We're still just trying to get the word out. I think, you know, the more successful we are, the more of a problem we're going to be for them. So, you know, if you're interested, come see the movie. Come learn about the movie on gasholemovie.com. See it on Netflix or on Hulu.
Excellent. Jeremy Wagner, he's the co-director of that documentary, Gashole. Thank you for joining me, Jeremy.
Yeah, thank you very much for talking to me.